Welcome to Literal Lessons, episode 194, everybody. My webcam refuses to work right now after I drove 7 hours to get to my parents. And I'm currently joined by our lovely co-host, Carter Noble. We actually have a big episode.
Do we?
Yeah, it's LAIC, baby.
Oh yeah, that happened, huh?
Yeah, so this is kind of historic. This is the first LAIC with VGC involved since 2019. The last time LAIC was played in VGC was an Ultra Series. It was the weekend that Sword and Shield came out, but it was still played on the Gen 7 cartridge.
Yep.
It's been 4 years.
And then, the world died for like 3 years.
Yeah, Literal Lessons came out and VGC just decided to call it like a season for 2 straight years.
Yeah, so that's the episode. We'll see you next week, people. Bye.
Yep. Nope. See ya. I'm going to go upstairs and go watch football. But no, it's we'll just
You're
dive.
Telling me you don't have it on your second monitor?
I have my laptop with me. And that's the thing you can't see, or like you kind of saw before. My dad, you thought my office in my apartment was dark. My dad has 2 lamps and the far side of his office, and like a tiny lamp on his desk, and that's it. There is no light in this entire room. It is way darker than my actual office. It appears light because I got like the lamp shining on me. Or at least you'd see that if my webcam decided to be friendly.
There's no, like, ceiling light?
Nope. I'll send you a picture when we're done recording.
That's so weird. One of my buddies, he had an apartment where not a single room had a ceiling light in it.
I mean, my apartment at home doesn't have this, like the office in my apartment at home doesn't have the ceiling light either.
No, not a single room.
That's absolute sicko shit.
Like, doesn't have a, like, overhead light in his bathroom.
Anyways, we're diving into this. Right now, we have our day one usage up. And so what you can see is that we have Fluttermane and Iron Hands, both over 50%, with Fluttermane beating out Iron Hands by about 2.3 points. You have following Fluttermane and Iron Hands, Lando Therian, who usually wraps up the top three. And then we have Urshifu Rapid Strike, just under 35%, also being another Monith over 30%. And then we get Tornadus, Heatran, Rillaboom, Hisuian Arcanine, Amoongus, and Qianpao, all over 20%, with Roaring Moon and Ogrepan slipping in just under that 20% mark for day one. Now, Carter, I'll let you go and give your comments, because I do have a few, but I'd like you to talk about this first.
I mean, the simple answer is this format is like very quickly become super homogenized.
Big time.
It's just like, it feels hard to innovate with like new tech mons in a format so well-defined. Which we will talk about some of the really cool tech that came out from this weekend and everything here after a while, but it seems pretty difficult in a format dominated by, so many Pokemon that it's hard to want to try to counter the meta by playing something unique, which I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. You see innovation in other ways, right? I have Lab Mouse pulled up here, and 31% of teams had Fluttermane and Iron Hands on it. Like,
yep,
a third of the field was homogenized around two Pokemon.
Well, it's not even that. It's if you want to like dive into that, then like the second most common pair, which was 27.62%. was Lando Iron Hands, and then right after that was little under 24% was Lando Flutter. The top three Pokemon in this meta work super, super well together.
Yep.
They don't eat items up from each other, which is also another huge thing. and they fill very, very unique roles. Fluttermane is one of your premier special attackers. For your top 12 for day one, outside of like support Pokemon like Amoongus and Tornadus, it's one of the only two like actually like offensively minded special attackers in the top 12. Iron Hands with the fake out support, does great with AV, it's your Lumon. Lando is your Intimidate, your Pivot, your great damage out of that mon. It was a trio that was billed as these are the three best Pokemon in the format on day one, and it's just been that way. But weirdly enough, I don't think they're the problem Pokemon.
No, I don't think there is either. I think that all three like of the top Pokemon that you see here are good. And like,
they're healthy.
And I've played with all of them, and some, yeah, there's not a single Pokemon on this list that I haven't played with in some degree in this format. Now, there are some that I like way more than others, but again, that's like, you know, personal preference, and like being able to like just play the good mons is fine. And that's the thing, is you're going to run into people playing the good mons who have been playing the good mons forever. And they're gonna have that edge on you because, you know, they're tech to be able to beat the mirror, right? Like, I think it was day one, there were, I think, two mirrors on camera. Two or three mirrors on camera.
I know, like, I think it was, like, round two we had that Lorcy and Paul Ruiz, I think.
I can actually pull it up and tell you.
I listened to it today at work. It was Josh Lorcy and a great player, and yeah, it was a Roaring Moon Balance Mirror, and as weird as this, like, Balance Mirrors are a mix of some of the more boring matches to watch, and at the same time, like, you want to talk about the most skilled VGC you can watch, it is these Balance Mirrors with these high-level players, because it turns into pure skill, pure positioning. It's like watching two chess grandmasters go at each other, and for the casual watcher, they might not appreciate it, but for the competitive player, for the person in the know, it's one of the most impressive matches you can watch. But yeah, we did have, and not even just like straight up mirrors, we had a lot of like 4-mon mirrors, 5-mon mirrors, and most of that is because a lot of these teams are running that Hands, Flutter, Lando trio as your glue, regardless of what you're doing. Those three just really fit wherever you're going. With that being said, as prominent as these three are, I don't think they're the real problem Pokemon in the meta. And it's weird to see this Pokemon, at least at day one, at only like 35%. Urshifu is an issue, and I think for the people who know me very well, it takes a lot for me to say that a specific Pokemon is an issue. I personally don't believe in most metagames any Pokemon is an actual issue in most cases. And so for me to go and say like Rapid Strike is an issue, the entire metagame is very much warped around it. The amount of offense it puts out with Tornadus is just like, it's unimaginable how much it can do. And not only is the amount of damage it can do, but the fact that you can't even play normal defensive positions around Rapid Strike because you cannot protect in front of it, because it doesn't matter if you protect. Unseen Fist ignores your protect, so you could still do that Terra Water, Surging Strikes in the Rain with your Mystic Water or your Scarf to make sure you're going before everything else. And it just puts out an obnoxious amount of damage to make it so that in most cases, the only way to beat it is to have your own Urshifu Rapid Strike and to play your Rapid Strike better than your opponent play theirs. It's not the most splashable Pokemon, but it still is relatively splashable. but for the people who are using it, they are going very, very far, as we'll see in today, like when we're looking at the results of this event.
So, yep. My thoughts, I don't think Urshifu is even the best fighting type in the format.
Oh no, it's Iron.
I don't think it's actually problematic. I do think that, like you said, the format is kind of shaped around it, but like I also think that like when it comes to a Pokemon that is as powerful as Urshifu, you're going to have to be like built around it in some capacity to be able to like either outplay your opponent with it or outplay your opponent who has it. Like, yeah. It's on what did we say? It's on, you know, 35% of teams. That's 65% of the teams that aren't playing it to some capacity. And like this, granted, this is day one usage, right? Like we have day two usage as well, where, you know, which we'll get to, but it jumps to just short of 50%.
Yeah,
so it to jump that much in, you know, in like the teams that are performing well, it should tell you something about how Urshifu is playing. That being said, a Pokemon I really like, there's a lot of Pokemon I really like in this format, especially to beat Urshifu. Tornadus, like you talked about, is a solution to it, right? Like being able to have your own Tailwind or be able to counter their weather with your own weather, or, you know, being able to outpace them if you're able to like set up a late Tailwind or something versus them, be able to have it where they don't, or simply put, just attack them with Bleak Windstorm, right? Like that is a thing you can do. Something that Carl has been playing is Volcarona. Flame Body is a very good attack, especially when your opponent is like hitting you multiple times, right? And like, I think the simplest answer is play more Rillaboom. Grassy Glide slaps this thing around.
Like, I mean, and we can see it like if we want to just go straight into the day two, because like just to talk about like other like day one aspects. I know you just said 65% of the teams aren't using Urshifu. I will go and say that unless you're using like some of these Roaring Moon balance teams, I think 65% of the players are throwing by not using Urshifu. I feel like at least the way that the meta has developed to this point, and I think part of this is we only have a couple other regionals after LAIC in this Regulation E meta, so there is that part where unless like you have a massive MSS or you're going to one of these regionals, I think we have one in Europe and we have the San Antonio regional in Texas.
Yeah, that's here in a couple weeks, right?
Yep. I think it's a regional in Germany that's either this upcoming weekend or the following weekend. And I believe the regional in Texas, the San Antonio regional, is the same exact weekend going into it's the same exact weekend right after Indigo Disc comes out. So in the grand scheme of things, I think part of this as well is unless you're going to LAIC or one of these other regionals, there really isn't much reason to develop the metagame past what we see now. And part of that is because the DLC is coming out and we don't have tournaments post-DLC outside of San Antonio. And a good chance that our next event, which will be like Portland, Portland's going to be Regulation F, which is going to be the DLC meta. And we're going to have a brand new set of Pokemon added to the current metagame to shift things even more. There's rumors of like how the legendaries are going to come out. We have these new evolutions, new Paradox Pokemon, new attacks. Regulation F can be a lot different than the base of Regulation E that we're seeing. But at least as of right now for Regulation E, there's zero reason to reinvent the wheel. I wouldn't be shocked if both Urshifu and Tornadus hop into that 40 to 50% range for our next two regionals, solely because of the dominance that these Pokemon have had within the metagame. On the lower side, it is nice to see Amoongus continuing to rise up, making the top 10. And another Pokemon that we've been seeing rise up in usage is Roaring Moon, and seeing that pop up into 11th as well is really cool to see. And again, it kind of shows to an extent that these Roaring Moon teams, whether it's Roaring Moon Hyper Offense or Roaring Moon Balance, are starting to become super popular, along with Amoongus coming back from its early Regulation E woes of, we thought the mom was dead, and turns out it's more alive than we ever thought. And we can really see that in day two. Amoongus being a Pokemon that was pretty much not seen in our first Regulation E event in Peoria, coming all the way to 37% in day two of LAIC. Speaking of 37%, the top eight Pokemon in day two usage were over one third used in percentage. Mm-hmm. Iron Hands and Flutter tied. Urshifu Rapid Strike just under 50%. Landorus and Tornadus tying at 40%. And then we had Amoongus and Heatran tie at 37.1%. Goldengo, who was not even seen on day one usage, shot all the way up to 34.3% usage in day two to tie Rillaboom. And then rounding everything out is Arcanine, Hisuian, Roaring Moon, and Chiempao, who also had really great day one usage. I think this right here shows how centralized the meta is around the big three of Flutter Hands, Lando, and on top of that, Tornadus, Urshifu combination. You have any comments on just the conglomeration of Pokemon, the centralization?
What's crazy to me is, and it probably is just like reflective of, we can talk about it here in a second. It's crazy to me that Ogerpon is nowhere to be seen in top 12 here. Yep. I mean, it was top 12, like Wellspring was top 12 when it came to day one. And it's fallen off here in day two. And on top of that, like, it's the only one. And I'm sure if we actually go and look at, like, actual stats, let's see. Hearthflame made up 12%, it looks like. Wellspring made up 19% of day one teams. So, I mean, it's not bad. And I mean, like, a Hearthflame team placed fourth, you know, Wellspring finished second. So, like, it's not to say that these mons are bad, but it's not the utter dominance we expected when, like, and this is something we'll probably talk about next week as well. When we talk about the tier list again, is we thought that these were like the best Pokemon in the format when they were first introduced. And I think that, you know, a big part of that was new toy syndrome, right? Like, this is something we talk about every time we get a new format or we get new mons or we get anything new, right? Is people always underestimate and also overplay the new things.
All right, it's classic new toy syndrome.
Exactly. Like, you want to play with the new things to figure out what they do, but also no one knows what the new things do.
Well, I think specifically with Wellspring Ogerpon, when it came out, the idea behind it was this Pokemon is the Rapid Strike Urshifu counter.
Mm-hmm.
Except in practice, so the two big Urshifu sets, you have the Tailwind with Close Combat, and one of the things that you run into is that the Tornadus doesn't need to Tailwind, and sure, you could follow me the Surging Strikes into your Wellspring Ogerpon and try to, like, eat that Surging Strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Or your opponent can just click Bleak Wind Close Combat, completely read your ass, and all of a sudden you're out your Ogerpon.
Yep.
And on the other end, if you aren't running the Tornadus with your Urshifu, a lot of times that means that you're running Scarf, and the Scarf is U-turn, and that U-turn's doing well over 50% into your Ogrepan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Dynamax the... Oh my god, I said it again. Carl, Terra. I need a count of like the amount of times I've said Dynamax instead of Terra on this pod, because it's at least like a dozen at this point. You could Terra your Ogrepan into water to have the U-turn be neutral. Well, now you just completely invalidated the fact that you have that water immunity. And I'm not saying wasted your Terrastalization, but you also wasted your Terrastalization. And I think like people kind of realized that and said, well, as scary in theory Wellspring is into Urshifu, it actually isn't. So I'm just going to keep on bringing my Urshifu, and I'm going to say, bring your Wellspring. I'm going to handle it before it can do anything. And if you try to make it do what you think it's going to do, it's not actually. So I think that's one of the reasons why it fell off. And then the other two Urshifu, like the other two Ogrepan forms, are neutral at best into Rapid Strike. Like, I mean, yep. I built a Cornerstone Ogrepan spread. You have to invest like a decent bit of bulk into a sturdy Mon in order to live Surging Strikes. And if, God forbid, they're Adamant Terra Water with the Mystic Water, you weren't living that without a massive amount of investment. And that's a neutral hit. It's just so powerful.
If you are Cornerstone, you can't tear in front of it.
Nope.
Like, you can't tear in front of it. You can't tear in front of, like, Rillaboom. You can't tear in front of Hands or Landorus. Or, like, even Heatran for the most, you know, some of the, a non-zero amount of time is, like, Terra Grass, Terra Blast, or has Flash Cannon, like,
or Earth Power.
Can't Terra there. Qian Pao carries, you know, Sacred Sword. Amoongus will put you to sleep.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, if you Terra as well, you lose your benefit against Amoongus. And I think, again, that's why Amoongus has been doing so well, because people have realized that Ogrepan, it's a very, very good Pokemon. Don't get me wrong. This is not a bad Pokemon whatsoever. It's just that Urshifu is just so, so good. And even against the Ogrepan that should answer it, it has its answers into that you can bring the Amoongus safely. And there is also a mix of people in general were just disrespecting Amoongus. And goggles are
at the same time
not as popular.
At the same time, you know, we had three new grass types that were introduced that were seeing a lot of play, and like as a result, like it made it hard to we had three new grass type, or well, four technically, four new grass types with redirection with follow me of all redirection. Instead of, you know, Amoongus having Rage Powder. So, like, you have better redirection in the form of Follow Me. You're immune to Spore. You're immune to Rage Powder. So, like, it's understandable why Amoongus fell off for a minute. And I think it's also completely understandable of why Amoongus is no longer falling off. Like, why it is a riser of this format.
You go.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, with that being said, I think that's another reason why we're seeing Goldengo, or at least top players, go to Goldengo as much as they have been, with it being tied with Rillaboom for the number 8th Pokemon in usage, because Goldengo has that built-in immunity to Spore in Good as Gold. And so, when we'll dive into it just after this, but when you look at the item usage for LAIC, the item, so you had Grass Terra at 8%, and you had, where are you, Goggles? There you are. Goggles was just under 9.5%. So, Terra Grass was significantly more common in Regulation C and Regulation D. And goggles was also a very common item. I mean, we're just going to look at this. That's like, you saw more Covert Cloak, saw more Light Clay, saw, well, I mean, the Ogre Palm masks, more goggles fell. I can count right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is a great podcasting. 7, 8, 9. Yeah, goggles was like the 15th, 16th most common item at LAIC. And day two, Amoongus is top 6 in usage.
16. Like, yeah. And like, to be fair, Wellspring Mask is more common. Granted, it's only on one Pokemon. Hearthflame Mask is more common. Again, same argument.
Yep.
The Eviolite is top 8. It is like 18. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out why, because like, looking at the Mons, the first NFE that I come across is Dusclops at 3%.
I think, but like, probably all of the Dusclops and all of the Clefs come, because like Clef is right behind it.
Yeah, that's all the Dusclops, 25 Pokemon.
That's still a decent-ish percent amongst, like, if we scroll down even further, we could probably find some other NFEs.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. But again, it's like the fact that the reason why Amoongus is doing so well is because people disrespected it, even going into this event, and the top players are the people who used it and recognized that, which is why we see this usage so high. I will say one of the, not to be negative with everything, one of the common, like one of the positives, I'm super happy to see Roaring Moon just do so well in both day one and day two in terms of usage. The Roaring Mid allegations are running thin. This Pokemon is just legitimately good. And it has a lot of great variants on how you can play it. We have the Booster Speed Terra Poison Support version. We have the Booster Speed Acrobatics version, still with Tailwind. We have the Booster Attack with the Tailwind Dragon Dance. I know, like, to start day one, I believe it was something like the first three matches they put on screen, five of the six teams had Roaring Moon. And it was all like high level players. We're talking people like Eric Rios, Paul Ruiz, I believe, Lorsi. The top of the top tier players of Pokemon right now are saying this is a good Pokemon for my team, and they're all using it in different ways. So I really like this Pokemon. I brought it to NAIC on my team. I'm super happy to see it doing well.
So I did some digging for NFEs. Okay.
Oh Jesus!
I want to play a little game, Angelo. I want to do an improv little game here. Okay.
Are we saying name the third NFE?
Oh no! There's a few. I'm going to give you two Pokemon, okay?
Yep.
You have to tell me which one finished higher in total placement, okay? Are you ready?
I am ready.
So, we'll start out with some interesting ones. Gulpin, Thunderous Incarnate.
Carter. Tell me this is a bit.
Answer the question, Angelo.
No. You need to tell me if this is a bit or not. Oh, Jesus Christ. Are you telling me that Gulpin finished higher than Thunderous Incarnate?
I don't know. Are you telling me that?
That's my guess if you're asking me this question. You sick man.
Gulpin finished 351. There's a single Thunderous Incarnate that finished 357.
Okay, so I don't think we have much more to say. Add to the usage. We're just going to drive dive straight into the lab mouse.
I wasn't done with my stats.
No, you can go back. We're just going straight okay. Into the search right here. Lab mouse, you can search specific Pokemon, shows number of appearances, the usage percentage, and the top placement. Shout out to Tim. He is apparently not a Jinxer. I got that wrong. He still is my tatted stud because I can still be horny on this podcast. 351, what are we doing here? What is this? What we can do, so in the so there were 392 people, which means that you had literally dozens of people perform worse than Gulpin. We're just going to go all the way down right here.
Are you ready for this Gulpin team?
I'm going to it right now on screen because we need our viewers to see this.
You can just search Gulpin.
So it is Guillerme Castillo, Garganackle, Hippowdon, Gardevoir, Sinistra, Gulpin, and Wokxian. Shout out Moxie Boosted with the live Wokxian reaction. Eviolite, Sticky Hold, Terra Grass, Protect, Poison Gas, Helping Hand, Pain Split. This man needs a hug. And like, what's worse is that there's like real VGC teams right behind it with real Pokemon under it, and these people just didn't do well enough. I mean, honestly, if we just gave Guillerme like Lando Hands Flutter Waterfoo Torb, he'd probably just demolish everyone. This is him doing God's work of just like nerfing himself to stop us. 351 with Gulpin. Oh my god. What have we come to as a society?
Are you ready for the next one?
No, I'm not, but you're going to tell me anyway.
Politoed or Snover?
Well, we know Politoed sucks from last week, so absolutely Snover.
Politoed by 10.
I hate you.
Politoed at 365, Snover at 375.
So, I'm just saying this, folks. Gulpin did better than Politoed. So, for both of my co-hosts from last week, along with all of my friends, shouting out a specific someone from the Philadelphia, city of Philadelphia, who says that...
Oh, you can name drop. That's fine.
Oh, no. He knows exactly who I am. And I think all of our listeners know exactly who I am. No, this is solely for him to just call him out. For those of y'all who said that Pelipper was worse than Politoed,
which is true,
Pelipper finished top 32 at well, technically 33rd, but Yuya got DQ'd, so top 32. And Politoed finished worse than Gulpin. Carter, do you know my first experience with Gulpin? We're going to go down memory road. You know my first experience with Gulpin?
I'm assuming it's probably, like, Gen 3 era.
Yeah, 19 years ago, when little baby Angelo, 9 years old Angelo, was I 9? Yeah, 9 years old Angelo and his little brother Maddie on Christmas Day were playing through Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, and, like, we reached, like, the path below Cycling Road, uh-huh. And us looking at our, like, the guidebook that my parents got us, our parents got Maddie and I, and seeing like which Pokemon like we could find. Yeah, so like 19 years ago, that was my first experience with Gulpin. And 19 years ago, 9 year old Angelo knew this was a bad Pokemon. And this bad Pokemon finished better than Politoed. What do you have to say for yourself? Actually, no. I'm flipping the tables. I'm putting this on you. What do you have to say for yourself?
I love Politoed.
Exactly.
He's just a cute little guy. Just look at him.
You absolute sicko. Okay, give me the third one, and then we can get to like talk with the actual good teams of this event.
Illumise.
I'm gonna guess Illumise regardless. So just give me the other Pokemon.
Lilligant.
Oh, Illumise, definitely.
Lilligant by 40.
I hate you. I hate you. Where did Illumise finish?
Illumise had won at 342. With actually a pretty interesting set. And then Lilligant had won at 301.
So 301 was a Lilical team by Paolo Elias with the Mental Herb Oranguru, the Waterfu, Hatterene, which goes pretty well with these Sunroom teams, and the Lurantis with a mixed Lurantis with superpower Leaf Storm.
This is
look at
hot.
That. This
what
boy
are we doing? I
is
love
cooking.
It.
What are we doing? We are doing things.
Angela, have you ever instructed a superpower?
No.
It is an insanely great feeling.
So the only times I've ever played Trick Room was my setters have been Mimi, who, you know, baby girl, love her.
You and, need to play with Oranguru.
And Dusclops. William showed me a Oranguru Blood Moon team.
I'll send you the monkey team.
Absolutely. I do actually, contrary to popular belief,
you like
I
the
do
monkey
actually,
team.
No, I actually do like my life and don't want to like subject myself to that. I am down horrendously. I am not that down horrendously. And so, yeah, you said it was 141-ish?
342, I think.
Did I say 3? I can't count. 342. So, Illumise with T-Tar, the Giraffe, Roaring Moon Como, and Iron Bundle. This looks like a VGC team.
Yeah, with an Illumise instead of a 6-team member.
How many Ambipoms are on this? Actually, zero. That's what I thought. So settle.
No
down.
One's brave enough to bring Ambipom to LAIC.
Illumise perform better than Politoed. I am the cute host. You can't see me, but I'm cute as shit, and I'm also correct most of the time. And this is one of those times where I am. Mm. Yeah. So for this team, it's the. Yeah, the AV Tyranitar really does match the Komo-O super well with the Bulletproof Terra Steel Iron Defense Body Press stuff. Armor Tail Fergraph, it's a classic. We have the D-Dance Roaring Moon, and we have the Iron Bundle here. What I do find interesting is, like, with these teams, when you have the Roaring Moon and another booster-dependent Paradoxmon, is, like, seeing, like, which item that they're going to go with, like, for the Weezing teams, you want to run the Booster Moon, and you also want to run Flutter most of the time. So a lot of those teams go like a Specs Flutter.
Specs Flutter is what I play, yeah.
Yeah. So like for this one, you're going with the Sash Iron Bundle, which is probably a max with the Encore. I think this is in practice. Well, not in practice. In theory, I think this is a super fun team. I really love all of the Pokemon on it.
Yeah, I would play this. Unironically, I would play this.
I legitimately would as well.
I might slap this together and play it for my next PC.
You know, it's better than you playing freaking Slowking. And
so. No, dude, Slowking has been... Do you know how high Slowking placed?
No. I'm afraid to ask, but you're going to tell me anyway.
I am. There was 3 Slowkings at this event.
Okay.
Highest one finished 170.
So the highest Slowking actually earned CP. So let's go all the way up to that team. We trust us, folks. We will get to the teams that actually did well soon. But you've been around us enough to know that this is what
if anyone is questioning their life choices of why we're talking about Illumise and Slowking, they not know what they're listening to. I like the off-the-wall goofy shit.
Yeah, I know like, I've been with Jay for the others where we're like, let's get straight into business. This is a fun one. So, yeah, you said 170-something?
Yep, 170, exactly.
I can't... Okay, so this team right here, we got Volcarona, Slowking, Lando T, Glastur, Cresselia, and Waterfu.
Seems really cool.
Clear Amulet, Terrifier, Waterfoo. That is cooking right there. The Landorus is pretty standard. The Glastrier with Assault Vest. The Rocky Helmet Crests with Ally Switch. You know, if they didn't run Ally Switch, they would have probably finished higher. But, you know, that you get punished for using the sicko moves. And, yeah, we got Terra Steel, Chilly Reception, Heal Pulse, Slow King.
I don't think you need Chilly Reception here.
So I understand why he's using Chilly Reception. It's a great pivot to get
the Glastrier. It is. I do agree with that. And it gives your Glastrier a defense boost.
Yes, I think like for zero. I think for the monstrosity you sent me, and at least you sent us the team beforehand this time, and we gave you like a week, like a little under a week to, you know, tell you no. Compared to that, Mudsdale, Slowking Monstrosity. Again, I don't mind this team. I think it's like...
Hold on. Hold on. That team's good. I genuinely have enjoyed playing that team, thank you.
No, you can enjoy a team that's bad. I've enjoyed a lot of bad teams.
Trust me, all the teams I enjoy are bad.
So we're going to save our viewers from the bad teams, and we're going to finally...
They're not playing Scald on Slowking, and that's a disappointment.
We're going to leave that as it is. We're going to finally get to the good teams. Now,
Angela, have you ever hit Scald into an Arcanine Hisuian?
Dies. I have not. I know. It's like, so does every... Like,
no investment Slowking Okos.
Yes, because if it's raiding outside, your Arcanine dies.
Well, that's their problem, not mine. Slowking's great. You should play with some more Slowking. Do you want to talk about actual teams now, or do you want
that's why that's why I pull up. We're going to do that. Disclaimer, right? The first disclaimer that we are going to give: Yuya Tada did finish top 8 and then was DQ'd in the top 8 because whoever created his team went to my first Jennings school. Because boy, oh boy, did they do it! God-awful job at that. With that being said, shout out Yuya for making top 8 at LAIC and then getting knocked out. But that's why you see someone like Joe, who is an 8th, who did not play in his top 8 because initially he bubbled. And when they did the hack checks, Yuya did his thing and kind of had to skedaddle. And that did move everyone else up one slot.
So... They disqualified him, but did not replace him. Because I'm assuming they did hack checks before top 8 was played.
Yeah, I said what I said.
Okay.
Yeah, no, not great. Is what it is.
So does Joe get the like?
Yeah, CP no. Joe gets. So the way it works is that if you, like, because there were a few people moved up. I know, like, the other thing, like, there was another another YouTuber that, like she finished 33rd. She moved up to 32nd. And so, yeah, like Joe gets, like, the top 8 CP. He gets the top 8.
Does he get to claim a top 8?
I mean, like, he can claim whatever the hell he wants to claim.
It's
like,
Joe. Who's going to tell him no?
He's got the money and the points to prove it. And that's pretty much what it comes down to, is that everyone who placed under Yuya, like, Yuya didn't get any points, didn't get any money. Everyone who placed under him ended up getting bumped up a spot. And for the people who it affected were the people who initially finished in 9th, 17th, and 33rd. They got to move up to 8th, 16th, and 32nd. Which, again, those spots, that was a bump in the prize money and a bump in the points for Worlds. So that's where that fell into. But enough with Yuya's team. Let's talk about our winner, who, again, is another Worlds qualifier. Marco Silva from Italy, with his Urshifu Rapid Strike, Goldengo, Arcanine, Tornadus, Iron Hands, Amoongus team. Arcanine's 5-for-5, baby. Legitimately undefeated in finals.
And you wonder why Urshifu is rising up. It's so it can punch Arcanine in its stupid little face.
But the Arcanine goes Terra Fairy. It's so good.
And then you still get punched in your stupid little face.
You know, at least it's only neutral, not super effective. I really like Marco's team. I think that when you watched finals, which finals were against Thiago Lattanzani, and his team has Reggie Ilecki, which when we get to it, I will have a
This is right up my alley.
I'm going to have to have an on-the-record apology when we get to that. But let's first talk about Marco's team. Amoongus, again, talk about a Pokemon that's rising up in usage. You get Amon, who a month ago I was writing off, is taking home an event with the Citrus Berry Terra Water. It's just been well over a decade, and it's just been a Pokemon that's been consistently super talented. The Tornadus, Speaking Troll with the Tailwind, the Bleak Windstorm is just, you know, so consistent in supporting the Urshifu. We have the Goldengo, the classic Terra Dragon lefties, Nasty Plot version, the Arcanine. Like, this is just a really great hyper offensive team that with the Goldengo, Arcanine, Hands, Amoongus mode can go like a slower balancing sort of like setup mode.
I had earlier, I had an opponent Terra Water their Amoongus in front of my hands, and I just went, That's so fine.
Like, thank you.
And then they pivoted into their Urshifu. I'm like, that didn't do anything.
It's like you didn't.
You gave me your Urshifu for free. Mm. I think I'm 100% like win rate against Urshifu today. I mean, not Urshifu, Amoongus today.
Well, we're probably going to see a lot more.
Then I boy howdy, do I have a team for you. It involves Slowking.
No, we're not doing that. Moving on to our second place team, as we said, Thiago Lanzani. I'm going to start this out. Apology to my close friend, the ever intelligent, the always ahead of the curve, Jessica. Jess, yesterday morning, you texted us in the Criers group chat, "Hey, Reggie Lecky super underrated. I don't know why people aren't." No, not was it? Yeah, it was yesterday. Like, I don't know why people are disrespecting it. To which I said, "Terra Ice Reggie Lecky sounds great on paper." But then you remember, the Pokemon is made of paper. Since then, Regieleki went undefeated on stream up until finals. So I am sorry. I am just a dipshit. Carter, what the hell? We got Flutterfish. We got Tornadus. We got Female Indeedee. Terra Dragon Indeedee. And Ogerpon with Terra Ice Regieleki.
You know what this is really good against? All of the intimidators in the format, because you don't give a single care about anything they're doing.
What's even crazier is, like, it's not even like Booster Flutter, it's Sash Flutter. So that's like just a straight up, I'm going to 252. I think one of the craziest moments was yesterday during, like, on stream. It was Thiago's game two of semifinals, where he led with Flutter, and he led with Flutter and Chiyu, went Terra Fire, Heat Wave, turn one, cleaned up some KOs there, and then to clean the match up, he went Terra Fire over Heat into a Dynamax Wellspring Ogerpon and
Dynamaxed, huh?
Yeah, Dynamax. This would be so much better if you could see my face right now. If my camera was working. My heart is still in Generation 8. I still love Dynamax more than anything else. Terrasilized.
I want you to know. It's basically daily. Papa Swish, Ryan messages me saying Terra sucks, give me back Dynamax. It's almost daily.
So Terra's better than Dynamax.
Thank you.
I think that Dynamax, though, as a viewer, is just better cinema.
Like, oh, it makes really good content.
Oh my god, amazing content. It's just so much better cinema. Like the cinema of it is just amazing. But yes, Terrasilized Ogerpon Wellspring, the Chiyu just went and said, well, over here, I'm going to crit and bop you, and it did. The amount of immediate pressure that this team puts out is just... Like, this is a team where you can blink and all of a sudden both of your Pokemon are knocked out.
I don't particularly care for Life Orb Snarl. That is, like, my one complaint.
Don't care. Just keep on clicking stuff.
I think I would rather just have Dark Pulse. And just, like, do more damage.
I think the only argument with Dark Pulse is because of the fact that Heat Wave and Overheat already don't have 100% accuracy to have that 100% accuracy move. With that being said, the Snarl to just immediately threaten, like, you can't, like, follow me or Rage Powder away from this Dark type attack into your Goldengo or into your Fluttermane is, like, super... It is super useful. It also does lower the attack output of those two Pokemon, along with some of, like, the... Like, again... while we do view it as a more supportive Pokemon, like Tornadus does hit like on the special side. Even Amoongus, like Amoongus's Pollen Puff does do a salt, like a non-negligible chunk of damage into these Ogerpon. And to have a way to minimize that damage with the Snarl is pretty useful. I think in general, this is the definition of a click buttons hyper offensive team.
This is right up my alley. Like, this is just hit the super effective button, don't pay any attention to any switches because they're dead if they switch.
I do think that the just in general, it is also I guess like a very not having to, I'm saying guess like because I haven't used the team, a very lead reliant team. This looks like
that's
a team
every hyper offense team that ever has existed.
I think it's even more than some of the other, because like Marco's team is hyper offense, but I think Marco with this six could lead slightly off any team with Torn or Shifu is hyper offense. But like I think Marco could lead slightly off and figure it out. This is the sort of hyper offense that it's like, you led correctly and you're winning in three turns, or you led incorrectly and you're losing in three turns. So, I think in general, though, what was really cool as well, Tiago is native to Brazil. So, this was one of his native events, and the fact that he was able to make the finals in this event is super cool. And in a format that is absolutely dominated by... one of the things we saw just in general on the stream, it was either you were playing Tornadus, Urshifu hyper offense, a Roaring Moon hyper offense that kind of like that pretended it was balanced, but it was actually hyper offense, and then the Roaring Moon balance. And to have four Pokemon on your team not make day two top 12. To be your highest placing, like the highest placing Chiyu, the highest placing Ndidi. Again, Regieleki is a Pokemon that, as of yesterday at 9:30 in the morning, when I was doing my grocery shopping, to like buy stuff to like make breakfast, I was just writing off, and then to see it finish in second place in this one of the largest tournaments of Regulation E. It's just insanely impressive, Tiago. And both these players, them both making worlds with this finals, like they both 1,000% deserve this placement and their spot in the world stage. And so congrats to both of them. The third top team is a team that we've seen a lot because we've actually have it.
Because we've already talked about it?
We actually have it twice in the finals. Well, there is a difference. David using Goldengo and Fluttermane, while Victor using Fluttermane and Chimpao. This is
Well, I mean, David and Marco, the only difference is, like, your grass type.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's also no hands.
Oh, and David and... Oh, no, you're right. David and Marco, the difference is the grass type as well. Just going through David's, the other difference here is that he does use a support Suing Arcanine, while Marco used the Choice Band version. And he also used a Specs Goldengo, where Marco used the more setup version. Goldengo specs with Steel Beam. I have experience using Steel Beam at a major. Didn't finish in third at that major, but you know, did pretty well with it. This Goldengo here does put out a ton of damage, while your Arcanine isn't putting out as much as the Choice Band variant, but being able to heal with that Citrus Berry and put out burns. One of the differences between Regulation E and your earlier regulations A through C is that Will-O-Wisp isn't as prominent, which is, again, also why I think we've had so many physical attackers. While on the Victor team, we kept with the Choice Band Head Smash. We still have the Booster Flutter, and then you have the Chien Pao. This is the more standard, like, Hirofumi team that we've, like, Hirofumi-esque team that we've seen win the past two events. I think in general, like, from what we're seeing, the water fire grass of Rillaboom, Urshifu, Arcanine, plus ghost type attacker, Tornadus, ghost type special attacker, Tornadus, and then Philarmon, it's just a very, very powerful combination. And it's just something that we're going to see a lot. Do you have anything to add with these two teams, or do you want me to move on to Riley's?
No, we can move on.
Riley's features your favorite Ogre Pawn.
Yeah, absolutely. The correct Ogre Pawn.
That is arguable, but, you know, it's your favorite.
It's arguable because it's correct and other people are incorrect.
Well, one of them made finals, the other didn't. There's a Dragonite here too. Like honestly. yeah, so honestly this six, the King Gambit with the Defensive Terra, the Waterfire Grass with Amoongus, Waterfu, and Ogre Pawn, plus the Chien Pao and AV Dragonite. This has been a six that Riley's been running pretty much all of Regulation E. And just, this is a guy who was very quiet during the 2022-23 season. And he has just came out swinging from a South Philly basement. You have the win in Pittsburgh. Like, it feels like, I think the only event he didn't cut is Toronto. I mean, this is the first IC of the season, top four right there. And at least, like, for Regulation E, it's pretty much been with the same exact six Pokemon in relatively the same exact six sets. Riley right now is, it feels like he's what Joe was doing back in, like, Regulation B, early Regulation C, where you can just set your clock, your watch to Joe top 8ing, if not better. This is just the consistency is absolutely insane right now, what Riley's doing.
I think that Chien Knight's still really good. I'm actually really surprised that we are AV Dragonite as opposed to, like, Choice Band, because Choice Band seems to be, like, the norm.
So,
that being said, I like AV a lot.
I do too. I believe that one or two things. So, if for those of you who did watch the stream, you can, and just looking at the teams in general, while Riley did do well with this Chien Knight team, in general, it felt like there were only three teams in the format. As I said, it was like this Tornadus Hyper Offense, Roaring Moon Hyper Offense that pretended to be balance. And then you had like actual like Roaring Moon balance, which is right below us what Joshua Lorsi ran. And so we didn't see really much, like we didn't see many other teams on stream. Of course, we saw Tiago's team on stream, but like I don't think we saw a Trick Room team until we didn't see a Trick Room team until like round 13 or 14. And we didn't see like much Gen Knight. We didn't see any Dondozo. So in general, I think it, while it's a strong archetype, I don't think it's, again, I don't think it's as powerful in the current meta. But with Riley, he is so experienced in with this specific six Pokemon. He's able to play or diff his way to like this high level. Specifically for the Assault Vest, I believe I heard like someone, whether it was Riley in an interview or another interview, he just valued the ability to switch moves and yeah, not get.
I think that's a completely like understandable take.
I think his I think his take was simply, I can do enough damage with my team, especially when you're talking about the Heartflame Ogerpon next to the Chien-Pao. And then, of course, also the Urshifu next to the Chien-Pao. He's like, I can do enough damage with that, that, like, I don't need the Choice Band. Moving on to our next team in the top eight. This is our first balanced team. The Roaring Moon balance that Joshua Lorsi used that was very common throughout the entire meta. This, I really like this team. I think this is a super skillful team that uses six of the best Pokemon in the format, and it provides a lot of opportunities for positioning, for setup, for damage, for pace control with Spore. The Moon, it is the booster attack with Dragon Dance, which is, I think, super cool. And yeah, like this is like one of those teams that if you, like specifically, if you get this Roaring Moon positioned well, you can, it can just take games itself. If you can get in a Dragon Dancer too and just blow everything up.
Yeah, it's the same set I've been playing here the last couple days or so.
Yeah, no, it's very good. And then again, I think what's also interesting with this, the Iron Hands doesn't have the steel coverage for Fluttermane. It has the double electric with both Volt Switch and Wild Charge, which
is actually something that I have been like. So, as we've kind of mentioned, I've been playing this like Slowking Mudsdale team here the last day or so, and I currently have Heavy Slam on Iron Hands, and the more I've played with it, the more I want to swap out like Heavy Slam for Volt Switch, just because there's definitely times where I would rather like be able to, you know, my opponent is going to protect in front of hands or whatever. I would rather be able to Volt Switch out and bring in my actual threat instead. Instead of hard switching or whatever.
The Volt Switch is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the other...
It is something that is definitely not been nearly as popular as it was in, you know, like Reg B or Reg C. But I do think that it still has a ton of merit and like can easily make a comeback as to like the common set.
Yeah, I ran Volt Switch on my team with Blood Moon. And like the idea was to lead that Klops Iron Hands and to be able to Volt, like have like the slow pivot out on your Trick Room turn into like your Trick Room Sweeper. Of course, Lorsi doesn't have that here, like a Trick Room Sweeper, but just the ability to have the Volt Switch to reposition his Pokemon on this sort of balance team is super huge. Mm-hmm. I think another thing that's really cool to look at, which we didn't see as much, or at least don't see as much, is we do have that Perish Song on the Specs Flutter as well as another potential win condition. To go with the super bulky Pokemon that can pivot out really well, with the Landorus, with the Iron Hands. I think that, again, like, this is balance, I in general, in this format is very difficult, and that's just because of the amount of raw damage that Tornadus Urshifu can put out. But I, from what it looks like, pairing like the Lando Hands Flutter Trio with Roaring Moon and other like just generally talented and stat filled Pokemon can really work as are the closest that we can get to a sort of balanced team. And also just personal shout out to Lorsey for just being a very high placing New Englander, being someone from my local area and finishing fifth place overall. The region really appreciates everything that you do for it and for showing out at this event. Moving on, we have the first team that features any sort of trick room. And again, it's another balanced team featuring our Golden Trio and Flutterlando Hands with Heatran, Ogre Pond, Water, Fire, Grass, and the Cresselia as your speed control. This is the Cresselia placing this high is a little, again, it's a new thing for the Regulation E meta because we really haven't seen Cresselia as much as other Trick Room setters such as Ferrigraph and Dusclops.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, in general, it's your classic balance. One thing to note is that it's the Shookaberry Heatran, which is really great into the mirror. Cresselia going for a slower mode instead of a faster mode. That could be a better call into the meta right now because of the amount of tailwind that's in there. Again, this is one of the first teams that, like, when you go up, Tiago's team has Trick Room on the Indeedee. Very rarely is it going to click that Trick Room button. But with Esteban Molina's team, you can easily see him going and saying, okay, I'm going to bring Hands, Wellspring, Heatran, Cress, and I'm going to click Trick Room, and we're going to play a My Speed game, and it's going to be miserable for you. So that's another thing that I think is super cool with his team compared to the other teams that we've seen so far. And at that, so technically we've gone through like the qualifying top eight. Joe's team is the team that we've talked about in previous discussions. It's the same team that Raghav used in Toronto. The hyper offensive team with the Urshifu, Torn, Rillaboom, Arcanine, Quartet, and the Goldengo, Regidrago special attacking backbone. Are there any other teams that you want to really talk about that were in this day two race?
I was looking, I was just kind of scrolling here on Twitter to see if Joe shared his rental, and I doubt he's going to for a hot minute, even if he does. Just because I do think his team is, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like you kind of talked about, it's just like hyper offense stuff with Regidrago, which is, you know, interesting enough to me.
I believe that Raghav shared their paste at some point. I think like maybe James Beck did a video with it, or maybe Cybertron. I could be completely off, but I do believe like that this the paste for this specific six, or at least is out there somewhere. So for if you dig hard enough, you will find it, valuable viewers. I think that. I agree. I think like this is a relative or like this idea of Tailwind plus Regidrago plus Goldengo was very popular early in Regulation D. And I find it super interesting that it kind of died off in the Regulation D metagame. We really didn't see it much in Worlds. And in Regulation E, towards this mid to late end of the game, it's been popping up again. Drago is absolutely phenomenal. I think it's a really, really cool Pokemon to use right now. And I am happy that the Reggie that got the short end of the stick in Generation 8 with me referencing Dynamax multiple times. The one that didn't take advantage of Dynamax is finally doing well.
Very, very interesting. I'm going to have to look into this team because I think it's something I would enjoy playing. So,
yeah, no, it definitely feels like a U team. Like, it has, like, the ability to, like, pivot around, do some defensive stuff, but it also has the very apparent herp derp click buttons mode.
Yep.
I think the other teams in terms of, like, interesting Pokemon to know, Alex Gomez's team. This was the first thing with the single strike Urshifu that I thought was going to be a better team in this format, ended up not being there. What I feel like is very cool is that he's doing the same sort of solo dozo stuff that he did to win NAIC, but this time his trapper is Magma Storm Heatran, and he also has the Rocky Helmet Tailwind Roost Salamence, which is a super unique Pokemon, especially at this stage in the meta.
How many Salamence actually showed up at this event?
I believe that we had, we can actually go up here.
10.
Yeah, so I know that I think the next Salamence that showed up was Bloody's team in top 32. Bloody used an updated version of the Tangang Rain team that I know, like, I saw, like, Justin took it to in MSS, where he replaced Iron Bundle with Screamtail, and it looks like Bloody took that to 32nd. Again, this is another person who she finished in 33rd, and when Yuya got disqualified, she moved up to 32nd. Massive for her, and shoutouts to her. This is actually a super interesting mix set. It's a Terra Steel with Iron Head, along with your special attacking moves and Hurricane and Draco Meteor. I believe, at least my thought process is, the Terra Steel Iron Head probably picks up Fluttermane regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And then it lets you just click Hurricane and Draco Meteor a lot safer. Other teams I looked at, Paul Ruiz, one of the higher ranking Sinistra teams, also with Volcarona. I thought that was a really cool team. He had a Rocky Helmet, Terra Fairy, Sinistra. And then he had the Terra Grass, Giga Drain, Volcarona with Quiver Dance. I thought this was a super cool team. Double setup with both the Volcarona and the Defiant Black Glasses King Gambit with Terra Poison.
I've played against something really similar to this earlier today. I want to say they dropped, like, Chien Pao for Moltres, so they could do, like, Sinistra Moltres things. I very quickly took them out because Sinistra isn't a very good Pokemon.
I looked at it. I think on paper it's a really good Pokemon.
On paper and in practice are two very different things.
I think one of the big issues with Sinistra right now is just I don't think the meta is in the place for it to succeed.
I think the meta is too high powered, if you want me to be honest with you.
I agree.
This is a Pokemon that if it was in, like, Reg A, would have been, like, obnoxiously annoying.
I don't even think it's Reg A. If it was in Reg B or Reg C, I think it would have been easily one of the best grass types in the format. And I do believe that there will be a time that people figure out the perfect way to use Sinistra. It is a new Pokemon. It's been at, like, the Pokemon has only been available for 2 months. And for a player of Paul Ruiz's stature,
mm-hmm,
to go and say, I want to bring this to an IC, I think that alone speaks to the level that the level of potential it does have. It's just collectively figuring out where that potential is. I think the only other thing I'd really want to talk about in these top teams are the Bramblegast teams. Actually, Andrew Ding's team specifically using the double water in Iron Bundle and Urshifu, the double ghost in Goldengo, the Specs Goldengo and Bramblegast, and then the double genie in Landorus Incarnate and Tornadus. I know you and I have a lot of experience looking at Landorus Incarnate because that has been one of the pet projects for our dear friend and executive producer, Carl. But yeah, this is the highest placing Landorus Incarnate, and at 18th, it's really good. I think this is another super, super cool team that has a lot of special offense between the bundle Specs Goldengo and the Lorb Lando.
Sorry, I'm trying to pull up the team.
It's right in front of you.
I don't have yours pulled up.
What? You can look at the screen.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm pulling it up.
I hate you so much sometimes.
Because I don't have yours pulled up.
This is why Carl quit.
You say that every week, and yet he keeps coming
back. No, not every week, but, you know, 2 weeks in a row. And yes, I'll be coming back again the following week. I'm like that, God, who is that, that Curb Your Enthusiasm meme. That F you, see you next week sort of thing. That's usually how I treat Philly sports. What's nice with Carter gets this up, what is nice with this team with the Iron Bundle, the Urshifu, and the Landorus pairing it with the actually even the Bramblegast and the Goldengo pairing it with the Tornadus with Rain Dance. All five of these Pokemon really appreciate the rain being up. Landorus having the Sandseer Storm. It is a perfect accuracy move. While in the rain, while still having the secondary effect to take advantage of the Life Orb Sheer Force. The Bramblegast enjoys not only the Rain Dance to mitigate the fire weakness, but the Tailwind to improve its Wind Rider. The Goldengo, of course, again, the Rain Dance taking away its fire weakness. And the Urshifu and the Iron Bundle getting boosts to the Aqua Jet and the Surging Strikes for the Urshifu, and then the Hydro Pump for the Iron Bundle while in the rain. The Iron Bundle can actually add even more speed control as well with its Icy Wind. It is another team that it's honestly like a super, like when you look at the roles that all these Pokemon are playing, it's like a super low-key rain team that on, like, if you were just looking at the six Pokemon, you didn't realize it was like, oh, this team like really does well in rain, until you look at the moves and you look at what these abilities and attacks do, and you realize, oh yeah, this is a team that, like, when you put it in rain, it does so much. Do you finally see it?
Yeah, oh yeah, I've had it pulled up for, you know, since you started yelling at me.
Do you have anything to add to it then?
No, I think that Bramblegast is he's just a neat little guy, you know?
Brams is great. I am very happy. And then we also have James Beck running the Emilio team in 15 to see two Brams in the top 20.
It's kind of absurd seeing how there was only three at the event.
Yeah. I think in this meta, and that is the other side, the other discussion with this sort of metagame, that it's super concentrated. As we've repeatedly efficiently said, the Umbreon theory, a Pokemon like Bramblegast, who was absolute ass for the pretty much the entirety of the 22 season, well, 22-23 season, as these insanely like broken Pokemon get introduced into the meta, it just has this niche of, hey, I resist all these things, and the Wind Rider's great, and I hit super effective into one of the best Pokemon in the game in Urshifu, and I can do all this stuff. So I think it's just like super cool where you have these two high-end players in Beck and Ding, recognizing that with the Bramblegast, and then bringing it to the tournament and getting these great results with it.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. So with that, do you have anything else to add on LAIC coverage?
Not really, man. I think we hit the big things I wanted to talk about was like Bramblegast and Volk. I know you did a lot of talking here because I am exhausted. It has been an insanely busy week, and I kind of let you just kind of drive the bus this week, and I'm pretty okay with it.
I mean, I'm tired too. I apologize for the people who heard any of this door creaking. Amanda just walked into the office where I'm recording, and my parents need to WD-40 this door. So that with that, since I am the one who drove and talked about this and also did the intro, and my camera doesn't work anymore, you got to close this out for us, buddy.
Well, first off, I want to give a special shout out to our, you know, our additional host, Jay. Happy birthday.
I didn't even lead off with that. Oh, I'm an asshole. Happy birthday, Jay.
I text him at like one or two. I'm like,
right now.
Hey, I'm a dingus. When's your birthday? I think you said it was today, but I forget. And if so, I need to tell you happy birthday. So yeah, that's why Jay's not here. He's out partying.
No, actually, I think it was his brother's wedding this week as well.
Yes. So yeah, he's had a very busy day, I'm sure. But yeah, shout out to Jay. Happy birthday, buddy. It's been forever since I've done the outro. Let's see if I can remember this. So let's see. You can follow us over on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I am at Mr. Missouri 25. Angelo is at Roe VGC.
Mm-hmm.
Jay is at Jay McTen.
Jay McG10.
Oh yeah, McG10. Thank you. Is it 10 or 10-10? I don't remember which one is 10-10.
Give me a second.
Okay. And of course the podcast is over at LR Lessons. Special shout out to Carl for being, you know, executive producer and all that good stuff for us. He really is like the backbone of the show, and I don't think we give him enough credit now that he's not like on camera every week. Instead, he's on camera every day.
Yeah, but he only has to be on camera for like a minute. Also, it is Jay McG10.
Okay, cool. You can follow us over on Twitch. There, you can find all that down in the show notes. I hopefully will be a little more active over there sooner rather than later. But again, you know, life is busy and I'll get to it when I get to it. Come and join the community Discord. That's where you can hang out with us and play in our events that we have coming up eventually sooner rather than later. We've actually started like nailing out dates and everything, trying to get things figured out for when we're going to start doing things. You can check out the website, lrlessons.com. You can check us out on Patreon at LR Lessons over there as well. And, you know, we'll give a shout out to our $10 and up patrons, Johnny Bravo, Papa Swish, and Smeargle over on Discord as well. And I think I've hit everything. Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you next week. Okay, bye.
Bye. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
I was gonna say we have another episode we're recording before that, but no.
Yeah, but it comes out after.
Yeah, that's true.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
Okay, bye.